You know, we've been talking the last couple of days about Robin Williams. And without rehashing what we've already said, you know, there's a conversation that's also starting to take place about suicide. And there have been comments that have been made by some who say, when we talk about suicide, that it's very extremely selfish. Have you heard this? Maybe you've said this. That suicide is a selfish thing to do because you're running away from all your problems. You know, it's extremely selfish. You maybe are facing problems and you end your life and you leave everyone else to deal with the aftermath of all that. And I think that's something that I've heard people say a number of times. That they feel that suicide is a very selfish thing to do. And there's kind of a debate going on a little bit about this. And in fact, even some who say it's a cowardly thing to do. Shepard Smith of Fox News had to clarify and apologies for comment that he made in regard to talking about Robin Williams and making a suggestion that he was suicide was cowardly. Do you feel it's a selfish thing to do? I want to get your thoughts on it at 336-1320, 1-800-228-4435. And one of the reasons I ask is there's an editorial piece that I found to be very thought-provoking by Katie Hurley that says there's nothing selfish about suicide. And she says, I'm a survivor of suicide. I don't talk about it a lot these days, as I've reached the point where it feels like a lifetime ago. Healing was a long and grief-stricken process. There were times when I felt very alone in my grief, and there were times I felt lost and confused. The trouble with suicide is that no one knows what to say. No one knows how to react. So they smile and wave and attempt distraction, but they never ever say the word. The survivors, it seems, are often left to survive on their own. And then she says, and it was her father who committed suicide. She said, I experienced endless waves of emotion in the days, weeks, months, and even years following the loss of my father. The what-ifs kept me up at night, causing me to float through each day in a state of perpetual exhaustion. What if I'd answered the phone that night? What if the sound of my voice had changed his mind? What would he have done it at a later date anyway? Survivor's guilt, indeed, she says. Sometimes I cried. Sometimes I sat perfectly still watching the waves crash down on Main Beach, hoping for a sign of some kind that he'd reached a better place. Sometimes I silently scolded myself for not seeing the warning signs. Sometimes I bargained with God or anyone else who might be in charge up there. Bring him back to us. Please just bring him back. Sometimes I felt angry. Why us? Why me? Why him? Yes, I experienced a range of emotions before making peace with the loss, but one thought that never, ever, not even for a second, crossed my mind was this ill-informed opinion that suicide is selfish. Suicide is a lot of things, but selfish isn't one of them, she says. Suicide is a decision made out of desperation, hopelessness, isolation, and loneliness. The black hole that is clinical depression is all-consuming. Feeling like a burden to loved ones, feeling like there is no way out, feeling trapped and feeling isolated are all common among people who suffer from depression. There's more to this, and I'll share more of it coming up, but I want to get to some of your calls here at 336-1320. 1-800-228-4435. We'll start with Jim. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. And
good.
Do you feel...
Enjoy your vacation.
Well, thanks very much, Jim. I appreciate that. This is a tough topic. Do you think that suicide is selfish?
I was kind of visiting with some friends about this just this week, and I don't think we can say that it's selfish in every case. I think sometimes the person affected is so tormented or so affected by what they're going through that the normal rational thought process isn't able to kick in.
Right.
You know.
Things. When things look so bleak that you don't see any other option but to take your own life, I don't know that there's anything selfish about that.
Yeah, I think we need to show a lot more empathy and sympathy. And it's a difficult thing to understand, no doubt about it. But we really got to be a lot more supportive, I think, than what we are.
So it's not helpful to say things like this selfish or cowardly and things like that.
No.
Yeah, I agree with you. Jim, I'm glad you called. Thanks so much. I want to get to one more here before we break. Hi, Dan. You're on Kello.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for letting me on. So, I think it'd be terrible if people would seize Robin Williams' death as an excuse to promote the pro-death agenda. I've been a pastor for 30 years, and I've never once had a family proud and happy and supportive of their family member committing suicide. I've done some sad, tragic funerals where people have made bad decisions. And you certainly don't make the family feel worse afterwards. You show compassion, but the family always expresses the same thing. They always say, if only we had known and there was ways we could have helped, and there were people willing to love and help. And for instance, another thing, people having unbearable pain. I've been with people that have gone through hospice care, and they make the pain so it isn't unbearable. They make the end of life really, truly have dignity and meaning. So suicide is really not the way, and I don't want people using Robin Williams' death, which is tragic, as an excuse to promote it. It was a terrible pain for his family, not that his family should bear any pain or stigma. Just don't make suicide a wonderful alternative.
Yeah, that's really a bit of a feel, though, of where I'm at with this, because that's not in any way what I'm suggesting or, you know, I'm reacting to the comments you're hearing in general of people, whether it's Robin Williams or anybody else, when they take their own life, this feeling, this sense that a lot of people have that somehow it's selfish of that person. And I'm curious to get your thoughts. It's a tough discussion to have, but I think a lot of us have been touched by it. Probably a lot more people than we realize. Tough conversation this morning, but one I think that's touched so many of us. And as I've said over the course of the last couple of days, I believe it's one of the reasons that Robin, forget about the media and their media's agenda and all of that. I'm talking about the way Robin Williams' death has affected us as individuals, because I've seen this in friends and family and people that I've spoken to over the course of the last couple of days, and they're very shocked by his suicide, as we've talked about, for a variety of different reasons. And I've continued to believe it's because a lot of us have been touched by suicide in one way or another. We may have even had thoughts about suicide if you've suffered from depression. If you've suffered from clinical depression, and feeling that, you know, I was sharing this piece with you called There's Nothing Selfish About Suicide. And the author, it's Katie Hurley who writes this. She says, and I think this is, she's making a great point here. Suicide is a decision made out of depression, hopelessness, isolation, and loneliness. The black hole that is clinical depression is all-consuming. Feeling like a burden to loved ones, feeling like there is no way out, feeling trapped and feeling isolated are all common among people who suffer from depression. And it's absolutely true. That's absolutely, there's no way out. You're a burden to the people that you love most. So I guess I've not viewed suicide as selfish. personally. Do you? 336-1320 is our number, 1-800-228-4435. Good morning, Bruce. You're on Kello.
Morning, Greg. Great topic this morning. Kind of gets things, hits home with a lot of people that we really don't talk about something like this. But I was out golfing last night. I got a friend of mine out golfing, and his wife committed suicide probably about a month ago.
Oh, no.
And I finally got him out to, you know, be with a friend and lend an ear, I guess you could say. And we talked for hours after our round of golf about his whole situation.
How was he, feeling?
You know, there's so many emotions. You know, like a lot of people left behind, they blame themselves. And then she suffered from, I believe it was EPSD, I believe it was called, the depression, you know, from being in war. She was a soldier over in Iraq and suffered for that for years. And, again, he looking back, he sees the signs looking back, but at the time, you know, he didn't think it was as bad as it was.
It's always easy in retrospect to go, oh, I should have seen this. Oh, I should have seen that.
Right. Yeah. And you know, when she got back, she helped another soldier who was going to commit suicide and walked her through it. But she lost one of her people that worked under her over in Iraq to suicide. And him and her talked about this, all these things about the family left behind, the friends left behind, the counseling that's available. Yet she was so depressed, none of this mattered to her personally. So getting back to your point about, is it selfish? I always was under the impression it was very selfish by these people to do this. But understanding what goes through someone's mind when they are so depressed and so low and in such a dark place that they see no hope, you kind of get a glimpse of you understand why these people do what they do and why they don't see any hope at the, you know, any light at the end of the tunnel.
Right, and sometimes they actually think, because the thoughts start crossing your mind, that you are actually doing people a favor by removing yourself and no longer being a burden on them.
Sure you do, you know, you can't get into us as, you know, a normal person thinking normally. I don't think you really can get in the place where these people get emotionally and mentally. You just can't get there.
I agree. And that's the thing about clinical depression. And this is, Bruce, thank you so much. And my prayers for your friend and his family as he battles his way through the suicide of his wife. That's something a lot of us don't understand when we talk about depression. We think it's caused by some event. You know, well, what happened? Why are you so depressed? That's not how clinical depression works. There's not a reason. And that's the bugger of it. There's not anything to be fixed. Because I think especially men, we want to fix everything. Oh, this is what's bothering you? Well, we'll fix that. Let's change that. Let's get that fixed. That's not how clinical depression works. And that's what's so frustrating, among other things. Thanks so much for letting me join you this morning. A lot of us, I think, in the wake of Robin Williams' death, are thinking about suicide because we maybe have all been touched by it in some way or another. And there's been Shepard Smith of Fox News got himself in trouble, among others, referring to Robin Williams as a coward for taking his own life. I cringe and bristle when I hear things like that. You know, when we talk about suicide, whether it's selfish, I think is a fairly and I'm not trying to justify suicide in any way here. Showing compassion for those who have either attempted or committed suicide. I guess I have, especially as I've gotten older, and I think as I've gotten a better understanding of depression and having seen depression in our family, a better understanding of it, I guess I don't view it as selfish at all, and I'm wondering whether you do or not. 336-1320 is our phone number, 1-800-228-4435. Thanks for waiting, Mark. Hi, you're on Kello.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to weigh in here a little bit. I got some personal experience in the matter. A brother and sister-in-law 2 years ago put a a gun to each other's head and shoot each other.
Oh.
Right at the exact same moment. They had been in a terrible car accident, had been suffering through terrible pain for almost 5 years. Doctors had given up and thrown them in like a nursing center. Didn't want to help them with pain medications or anything because they didn't want them to get addicted. Well, that seems like a stupid thing. So you dive into this huge depression. You know, you can't move. You're stuck in bed. You've got no choice. You've got no nothing. You have no hope. And there isn't even doctors out there giving you hope. And for anybody to call somebody selfish that wants to end that kind of suffering, they just don't have a clue what they're talking about. Witnessing it firsthand has got to be the most painful, awful thing somebody can watch a loved one go through. Depression is, it's real, it's serious, it's not something that, in this case, there was a cause, but there's no treatment. And, you know, the treatments that they could give, I guess if they would have thrown pain medicine at them or something, they could have lived a decent life. But then you got an addiction problem. But you weigh one from the other. But what choices did they have at that point?
As a miserable circumstance, no question about it. Exactly. And it's easy to see, Mark, where hopelessness sets in a situation like that.
Absolutely. They felt dread every single day of their lives. And to make a pact to do that to each other, right, at the amount of trust they had to have, and they had, you know, they were going to do it no matter what, and they had it planned, and they saw it as the only way out, as the only escape from the misery that they were living. And I guess I don't consider that cowardice. It, you know, I think a person should have some control.
I don't think there's anything cowardly about taking your own life. And I think people just, you are in such a dark place that we try, and I've used this term I don't know how many times over the years, but we try to make sense out of the senseless, you know, and we're trying to apply rational thought to people who, for whatever reason, have arrived at a place, at an irrational place.
Right.
And
we don't know what Robin Williams was going through.
And I don't even want to speculate about what he was going through. You know, I know there are all kinds of people out there floating all kinds of reasons. To me, it doesn't matter. It's what he thought.
And
exactly.
What he felt,
and we'll never know that.
Personal line.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, and he didn't leave a note, so we'll never know what was going through his mind. And that is what is so devastating for people who have a family member who commits suicide, and you don't know, and you're left to guess and to wonder. And believe me, that's horrible too. That's, you got so many victims of suicide, not just the person who takes their own life, but then all of the family members, all of the friends that wonder if they could have done something different, if they would have said something, if they would have taken, if they would have seen what they think is this sign, if they had just done this, they start blaming themselves. Unfortunately, the after effect of suicide affects many, and it's terrible. It's horrible. 336-1320. Hi, Chris. You're on Kello.
Hi. I want you to know I listen to you, but I've never called in. So.
Well, God bless. I always love hearing somebody for the first time. Thank you so much, Chris.
I want you to know I'm the mother of 6 children. So my 4 of my 6 children have gone to classmates' funerals.
Oh.
Some of these kids have left notes or whatever, dived off of houses. One shot her head off. And they all had some depressive problems, like this gentleman was talked about, and despair. But I am also a nurse, and I know there's a way out. And there's always hope. to say there's never hope in this world is very, very, makes this world a very hard world to live in. And to glorify killing and to glorify suicide is just giving an open door to our young people to say there is no hope in the world, therefore keep doing what you're doing.
Do you feel like we are glorifying suicide?
In a way, yes.
When the guy said that he okayed
for people to kill themselves if they set packs and go ahead and do it. Believe me, when you go through your teen years, you got your ups and downs, and you got people who have bipolar. I have friends who are bipolar, and they're living wonderful lives. They deal with the disease.
To be fair, I heard him a little bit differently. He was speaking specifically of their circumstances and saying there wasn't anything selfish about it. These were people who were so miserable, in pain, with no physical pain.
But to say there's no hope in the world, to say that they look at life that there's no hope, I'm sorry, but... as a nurse, as a mother of six, as a Christian, I want to say there is hope in this world. We have hope.
I agree with you.
Let's look for the life. Let's look for the hope. Let's encourage hope.
Especially for young people.
When my youngest son lost a friend, she had bipolar. And he didn't see it coming. And she did. She was not regulated on her meds, and he didn't see it coming. I said, son, there's nothing you can do, but he still remembers. He knows the date. He goes to a grave. He visits. So to say it never will affect him, it still is. He's 21.
Sure. Yeah, I think you carry that with you all the time.
All your life. It has opened his eyes. The good thing is he's aware of people around him. Of different actions. He looks for it now. But I'm just saying, don't go around saying there's no hope in the world. There is hope. Let's get that life out there. I totally agree.
And as Chris, especially where young people are concerned, I've got to run because we went very long here. Chris, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it. Good morning and welcome to the Greg Goldfried Show. Under the Hood Show coming up today. Under the Hood Show from 9 to 11 today with Russ and Shannon, Chris, all be in coming up. We're having a fairly serious conversation here this morning on suicide. I read a piece, an editorial said there's nothing selfish about suicide, and in reaction to some of the public reaction to the death of Robin Williams. And so we're asking whether or not you think it is selfish or not. 336-1320 is our phone number, 1-800-228-4435. Hi, Rob, you're on Kello.
Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Difficult topic. Selfish and cowardly, I really don't think so. I do believe depression is a thing where we become self-focused and self-centered. That doesn't mean it's selfish. People need to reach out to people when they think that they're potentially struggling, or you know someone who's struggling. But Robin Williams was a gentle human being. I was listening to Dennis Miller talk about him last night, and the guy was having a little bit difficult time at times composing himself. Everybody feels the loss, feel terrible for Robin and, of course, all of his family and anybody who knew him. But there's a spiritual component to this that I think Robin and many people who deal with depression and potential suicide, there's a spiritual component that I think people need to look at more closely. But more than anything, I guess it's if people commit suicide, they really need to be thinking about what it does to everyone they know and love. And I think love is the big underscore here. You know, the MASH song that goes with it, Suicide is Painless. It's not. It devastates people for years and years after somebody steps off that direction.
Agreed.
And there's a corner. You may be at a point and place in your life where it feels like it's, but it's not, that it's, everything's over. It's just down here from here. It's not. Things change. I work with a lot of young people. You know, they're looking at what direction they're headed in life. Are they measuring up? And this is where they are today. And the sun can be shining tomorrow, a week from now, or whatever. But people need to just reach out to others and be willing to do that instead of conceal and hide and be fearful. There's got to be somebody in their life that they can trust, that they can talk about those dark things that they're dealing with.
Rob, thanks so much for your thoughts. 336-1320 is the Kello hotline. 1-800-228-4435. Good morning, Abby. You're on Kello.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. I'd just like to add a little, or a few of my tidbits, I'd say. I definitely believe that all life is precious, and I believe that there's always hope. And I would think that that if these people are considering their family or their friends, who's finding the body, who's dealing with the aftermath, and if that's a deterrent to allow them to make a different decision, to choose life, then it's worth it. And then again, all life is precious. There is hope. We live in a sinful world. There are junky things that are happening, but we have hope. God forgives. God loves. And there's hope in Christ. And so I guess I would just say that, again, reach out to friends, reach out to family, and all life is precious.
Well, I agree with you. Thanks for your call, Abby. Certainly life is precious. Here's the issue. When you can't apply rational thought when someone is depressed and having irrational thoughts. You can't expect someone who is clinically depressed to be thinking rationally. If we're talking about someone who rationally sits down and reasons out, that's not what we're talking about for in a good number of cases where we're talking about suicide. And I think Robin Williams would be an example of that. He wasn't thinking rationally. That's the point. That's the problem. He wasn't thinking rationally. The person who is oftentimes that depressed, when they are thinking about their families, they think they're doing them a favor by ending their lives. They don't think, oh, how horrible it's going to be for them. They think, you know what? They're going to be better off if I'm not here. That's how someone who's clinically depressed is thinking. So they are thinking of their families, just not in the way we would, you know, if hopefully if we're healthy and spiritually and emotionally well. You know, they are, this is one of the reasons why I do not believe that suicide is a selfish act. Oftentimes it is a, my family's put up with, in Robin Williams' case, dependency and addiction is part of that. Battling those, can you imagine carrying that monkey on your back every day of your life and you slip and you fall and family and they got to deal with you? And, you know, I can see, and I'm not justifying it. I'm not justifying it. I'm not saying it's ever correct. I lack the time to share this. It was a personal component here I was planning to share with you, but I don't have the time to do it. I'm not in any way justifying it. I'm saying suicide is a tragedy, and those who take their own lives and those who are clinically depressed, they deserve our compassion and our prayers, my friends. We're out of time. So long until tomorrow, and may God bless.